This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Jacob Hester, former LSU running back, played a little fullback. I try to give you that compliment because you do remind us that you did play a running back, but also in the NFL. Former Bronco, former Charger joining us here on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Jacob, with all the losses, we saw the opt-outs. You knew you were going to have to replace some really key positions, but I've got to guess that LSU fans in there in the heart of Tiger Country have to be scratching their heads thinking, what is going on with this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, without question, because in the SEC, you can't use excuses. That's just not something that's available to you, in my opinion. So, yeah, you lost 14 guys that got drafted. You lost other guys to the NFL. I think it was 18 total. You lost Jamar Chase, your best offensive player. You lost Tyler Shelvin, you know, potentially your second-best defensive player to an opt-out situation. Okay, well, nobody is going to want to hear who you don't have. They want to hear who you have and what are they doing. And what they've done on defense is had a lot of miscommunication. They have not been on the same page with Bo Pelini since he's come over, and they transitioned to this 4-3 defense. And it's from key guys that helped you win a national championship last year, Jacoby Stevens, Damone Clark, Derek Stingley Jr., right, guys that you were counting on coming into this season. And they've got to get that fixed, because we can sit here and we can, you know, break down the offense. Is there things they need to do better? Yeah, but they've been good enough to win, certainly, you know, scoring over 40 points against Mizzou. Even in the Mississippi State game, you scored enough to be able to win that game. And so it all falls on the defense. They've got to find a way to communicate whatever they've got in much better. And I was talking with Gene Chizik the other day, and he said, look, when we were having those communication errors, I wouldn't allow my players to talk. There was no communication that was verbal. It was all hand signals. And right, so whatever that trick is, whatever you've got to do, it has to get figured out. Even if it's Bo Pelini saying, hey, we got to simplify this thing. We might be only, you know, able to run four defenses, but you know what? Those four defenses, every guy's going to know where he's supposed to be, because you've got players that are playing, going to play on Sundays that look really bad right now. You've got linebackers that are playing on their heels. Jabril Cox is going to be a player on Sunday. Damone Clark, Jacoby Stevens, some of the names that I've already said. Anytime you allow Missouri, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Missouri, but they average 5.3 yards before contact on their rushes against LSU. It doesn't take a world beater at running back to have success when you're getting 5 yards of freedom before you get touched. It's not a talent issue. It's a communication, and they are not really aligning with the scheme issue. So they've got to get that fixed. They've got to get it fixed now. You've had a couple of extra days because the Florida game wasn't played. If you don't come out against South Carolina and look much better, more fundamentally sound, then that's on you.
Jacob, where's LSU in their quarterback situation right now? Ed Orgeron said today it's doubtful that Miles Brennan will go. Does this mean we're going to see a freshman starting quarterback for LSU? And if so, which one?
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see a freshman. I think Miles Brennan still could be a couple of weeks away. I don't know how close he truly is. And even when he does come back, he's going to be playing through a lot of pain. Now, he did it in the Missouri game, but as you know, when you've got that adrenaline pumping and you might have a little extra something in there, you can play a half of football when you're hurting. But once all that wears off, once you get sore, it's very difficult to come back, especially for a quarterback and an ab injury. So he still could be, you know, multiple weeks away. So for me, you've got obviously TJ Finley, you've got Max Johnson, both true freshmen, both completely different quarterbacks. TJ Finley is 6'6". He's got the big arm. He's not a mobile guy. Max Johnson, he's a lefty, doesn't have the arm that TJ Finley has, but what he does have is he's a dual threat guy. So for me, if I'm calling the ball plays, if I'm Steve Ensminger, I say, you know what, we've kind of had a little bit of trouble running the football. We haven't really sold in for the run yet, so we've got to make sure that we do a couple of things really well in the pass game, but we're going to use some RPOs. We're going to have our quarterback be a very available piece of the running game because he does have that skill set. I think, you know, Brad Johnson being his father, obviously he's been coached up his entire life. And so maybe some of the small things that TJ Finley would struggle with, maybe Max, because of his upbringing, could do okay in those situations. And, you know, you never wanted to run Miles. Not that Miles was ever going to be a world beater running the football, but you didn't want to do it because you didn't have a backup that had any experience. Well, now you're in a situation where you've got two freshmen, and it sounds like both of them are going to play. So go ahead and see if Max can run the football, knowing TJ's probably going to play anyways. And so it's going to be a situation where there's going to be some struggles, right? You're not going to get the same amount of firepower on offense that you got with Miles Brennan. So that's why even more so the defense has to make sure they play their best game.
Obviously, Jacob, you have a situation where expectations have been tempered because of the players that left the program after last season, and now the injuries are starting to take the effect. How are the fan bases? How are the people in Louisiana taking this season so far, and what do they expect for the rest of the year?
Well, obviously, when you win a national championship, I mean, y'all know that, you know, that light shines pretty bright for a long time. And, you know, what LSU was able to do last year was great, but people at LSU and the fans around the program, well, they expect you to be in a championship hunt every single year. Now, this year was a little bit different because of all the things we've already laid out, you know, expectation-wise because of who you lost, but still, they expected you to win all the games that you were supposed to win. Like, you no doubt should have been 3-0 going into this game. And really, honestly, if you lost to, let's say, Alabama, Florida, and what, Auburn and A&M, and you lost three games and you're 7-3, I think they'd be like, okay, well, you know, we lost a lot, but that's about where we should be. And now you're in a situation where you're 1-2, and there's not a win that you can circle left on your schedule. Every game on your schedule is going to be a dogfight, in my opinion. And so that's what's really got the fans, I think, a little bit in arms, is because it's just not what they're used to seeing from LSU, because LSU since 2000 in the normal year, they've won at least 8 games. They haven't had that season like we've seen from some teams, Florida, Auburn, you know, kind of fall into that where they have a losing record. And it's a one-off season, but still LSU hasn't fallen into that, like I said, since the year 2000. And this season right now, obviously, has not started anywhere close to where you thought. So fans are starting to get a little restless. They want to see, this week is big. They want to see, all right, has Bo Pelini simplified the defense enough? Because it's been embarrassing performances the first couple of weeks, really the first 3 weeks. Even the game you won, Vanderbilt rushed for 180 yards, right? That's not something that you can allow at a place like LSU. So this is a big week for everyone around the program, because fans, even though their expectations weren't quite as high, they're still wanting answers to what's going on.
Talking to Jacob Hester here on Three-Man Front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. So, Jacob, with South Carolina coming off the win over Auburn, we know their defense can create problems, got a talented running back, and what they're doing and trying to be efficient in their offense. What are the big concerns for LSU and some of the matchups we're going to see in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night?
Yeah, when you look at South Carolina offensively, they want to be that team that is just steady Eddie, and they don't want to make the big mistakes. And I don't mean that as a negative. I think it's a positive thing for South Carolina. You go get Colin Hill from Colorado State. Mike Bobo, obviously the head coach there, right? You feel comfortable with him running your offense. They went and got the starting fullback from Colorado State, guys that he can trust, and they trust Colin Hill. That's why he's the guy, and Ryan Helinski's not the guy. Helinski's by far the more talented player, but he's going to make more mistakes. That's not what they wanted this year. They want to be able to run the football, and when they want a big play, Shai Smith is their go-to guy. He's as good of a playmaker as you'll find in the conference. He's in that top-tier group, and so that's what they want to do offensively, control the clock, do just enough through the air to beat you. And then defensively, they've got, you know, a really good tandem at corner, and J.C. Horn is a player that's only gaining confidence. Last week, he took over that game. He's the reason South Carolina was able to finish that game, and he's playing at an all-time high as far as confidence level, and I'm sure he's going to be matched up with Terrace Marshall one-on-one for most of the night. So they're a team that I think is going to be in every game that they play at, you know, deep into the game for the rest of the year. Not saying they're going to pull off these major upsets, but South Carolina is set up. This is their model. We're going to give our team an opportunity late in the game, every single timeout, to win the game. It might not look pretty. A lot of times it probably won't. But that's who they are right now. And so last year we saw them beat Georgia. Then they couldn't handle that success. They went on a bad streak there. Okay, they beat Auburn. What can they do? Can they beat LSU? Even though it's not the same LSU team, that doesn't matter, right? For South Carolina, for them to be able to say, we beat Auburn and LSU back-to-back weeks, that's something that saves jobs. And so they're definitely going to come out with a purpose this week.
All right, Jacob, I want to know your thoughts just on Alabama-Georgia. What you saw, your takeaways, what you think about those two teams moving forward.
All right, so we just talked about the South Carolina model. That was a model that tries to keep them in games, and they're going to try to pull it out into the end. Well, we know Georgia's model. They're going to play great defense. They're going to run the football, and they're going to try to only take a couple of shots through the air. Here's the problem with that, and you and I talked about this before. When you play teams that have as much talent as you, and there's not many. There's not many at all. There's, you know, Clemson. There's Alabama, LSU the last couple of years, Ohio State probably in that category. When you try to play that brand of football against them, it doesn't work because you're not going to be able to keep up with them offensively. They have offenses that can score at any given moment. And, look, a really good defense can slow them down, but it can't stop them. And when they get into those games, you start to see them struggle. Now, if they go out and they play teams that don't have the talent that they do, it doesn't really matter where they're ranked. They're going to go out there and dominate because they're set up for that. They've got to find a way. If they do, in fact, get that rematch with Alabama, which I think we all agree there's a very good chance, a very good opportunity that they have that. To me, that's why I was surprised why they said Stetson Bennett's our quarterback. Now, we don't know what JT Daniels looks like. JT Daniels was an up-and-down quarterback at USC. We know he's a five-star and all that type of stuff. But currently, with the way you're assembled, I don't think it's ever going to be good enough to go and beat an Alabama that's set up the way they are. So why not, in a bye week, make the move to JT Daniels, allow him to see if he can be the model that beats Alabama. Maybe the offense changes just enough because the way you're set up, you're going to win so many games. You're going to have a great record. But what you're not going to do is hoist trophies at the end of the year, and that's what Georgia wants to be, right? We all know how long it's been since they've won a national championship. And for me, if they want to change that, they've got to change their offense. They have to change their model of football to be able to do that. I believe in Todd Monken, but can he get it done in year one? I don't know that.
Jacob, Arkansas, the best story in the SEC so far this year?
Oh, I think so. And the wins are great. The wins are absolutely great. And even in a game they lost against Auburn, there's a lot of controversy at the end of that game. They were in that game. They gave Georgia a fight, a true fight, into three quarters of football. The thing that I appreciate the most, maybe this is a little get-off-my-lawn take, they are so interested in tackling and playing defense. Grant Morgan, bumper pull, they might be limited in what they can do on a football field. I don't care about that. What I care about is they have pride. They have pride in what they're doing. When there is an offensive player in open field, they don't go for the kill shot. They put their nose on his chest, and they get him to the ground. And in this day and age in college football, when tackling has become optional, I can appreciate that. And they play a hard-nosed brand of football that is working for them right now. To be able to pick Matt Corral off six times when he really did whatever he wanted, he dictated the pace against Alabama, that's highly impressive to me. You can't say enough about what Sam Pittman's doing as the head coach and Barry Odom as a defensive coordinator. They are a team that, if you like old school gritty football, they're a lot of fun to watch.
All right, Jacob, I want to circle back to LSU quickly. The marriage with Bo Pelini, and is that going to be like a Coach O, Matt Canada type thing, or do you think this thing getting worked out and seeing Bo Pelini there in Baton Rouge for a while?
Well, this week's big, and you're not going to put everything on one week, but, man, it's as close to it as you can. And Coach O and Bo Pelini have a much better relationship than Matt Canada and Coach O ever did. They never were on the same page. I mean, that's been chronicled. That's no secret, right? Bo Pelini and Coach O actually have the same mindset. That's what they want to be, is attacking 4-3 defense that creates turnovers, that brings pressure, all those type of things. It hasn't worked out. But Coach O has stayed behind Bo Pelini. He never really had that support from Matt Canada because they had different views on how they wanted things to go. This week is so big, right? You have three extra days that you didn't think you were going to have. You have a team in South Carolina, although I think they play who they want to be. They're not a high-powered juggernaut offense. Okay, here's your opportunity. Go out, shut down this South Carolina offense, and then you can start to grow, right? Building blocks to get to who you want to be, because, man, you've got some horses left on your schedule. You've still got Ole Miss. You've got Auburn. You've got A&M. You've got Alabama. So you've got to get it figured out quickly, or we could be talking about a different relationship here in a couple of weeks.
Jacob, always great stuff, man. We always love when you drop by. Ton of knowledge, and we'll see what happens this weekend. That'll be very interesting with South Carolina and LSU, and see if LSU can maybe get the ship righted before heading to Jordan-Hare Stadium coming up next weekend. Jacob, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, while Cole is throwing out all the Game 7 stuff and the Dodgers and Braves, remind him that the Rays payroll doesn't add up to Garrett Cole's and they eliminated them from the playoffs.
Oh, man, I forgot. Man. We're Braves brothers. Thank you so much, Jacob. I needed that. It's been a tough week. We're going to get through it, though, brother. All right. Jacob Hester joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy drinking hard seltzer with just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.